So God, in the Bible, we saw in his word last week that God likens us like trees, right? And if we're blessed, it talked about in Psalms, it talked about how the blessed man is like a tree right by a river. Amen? Is that what it said? It said the blessed man is like it's like a tree planted by the river. Amen. He's talking about us, right? It says it never ceases to yield fruit. When it's dry and everything, the tree is planted by the river. Right. It's going to still bring forth fruit. Amen. So we say that we were likened, the word likens us as trees and God is water. Amen. Is that what we determine? So we learn that we're right by the source of life. And when you're right by the source of life, you flourish. You can't help but flourish. Amen. So that was last week. This week, I want to talk to you all about the antidote. Amen. The antidote for this world we live in. That's what I want to talk to you all about. So what's an antidote? What is an antidote? Huh? An antidote is a cure for something, right? That has a problem or is diseased or is sick or is poisoned, right? An antidote is the answer for that. Amen? For example, let's take this. You're bitten by a venomous snake. It's poisonous, right? You can die. It can kill you when it bites you unless you have the antidote. Amen? So many times on those kinds of adventures, men will have certain medicine or the antidote for snake bites if they know that kind of snake is in that area. Amen? So you know what the antidote does? It counteracts or neutralizes the poison. And it renders it harmless. That's what the antidote does. It counteracts the poison and renders it harmless. It neutralizes it. Yeah. Amen? Amen? So today I want to give you the antidote for the world. Yeah. But here's the question I have for you. What's going on in the world that it needs an antidote? Think about that. What's going on in this world that we need an antidote? That's some truth right there. We can just think about that quickly and know it's a mess going on in the world so much that we have to have an antidote, something to neutralize it and render it harmless in our life. Amen. So we often talk about forces that are against us, right? Like we know Satan. Satan is the number one enemy. Amen. I used to think the flesh was the number one enemy because the flesh is a mess. Our own will is something else. Our own will really is something else. But Satan really is the number one enemy. And you know why? Because he wants to keep you from God. Satan's job is to keep you from God. God is the antidote. Huh? If he can keep you away from the antidote, he's going to keep you in a drama-filled life forever. That's how you're going to live. Huh? If Satan can keep you from God, you're going to have problems. That's not going to ever stop. Amen? So he's the number one problem. Then the flesh, our own will. We know flesh is a mess, right? Our flesh is something else. Amen? But see, we know truth on flesh is that it's not subject to God. See, we think in our mind everything is subject to God. The Bible says the flesh is not subject to God. It's enmity against God, and it's not subject to God. Neither can be. That's why when we were created in that garden, we didn't even see flesh. It did not exist. Flesh didn't come into play until sin came into play. Then all of a sudden they notice we naked. What's going on? And then they got ashamed. Then they tried to hide themselves. But God never intended you to see flesh. God is a spirit. And we were in the spirit. And when we're in the spirit, our spirit is way up here and our flesh is way down here. Amen. That's the normal look of a healthy man. Spirit up here, flesh down here. Like I said last week, I said God is water, right? And we're like trees. But even in the body, the body is 60 to 70% what? Water. Amen. So if you take that in the spirit, it looks like this. Amen. The spirit is way up here and the flesh is way down here. But if your stuff look like this, you out of balance. Amen. You liable to do anything. I was like this. God told me personally, you are spiritually bipolar. Told me that because I look like this. Sometimes I do what God tell me to do. Sometimes I do what my flesh tell me to do. That ain't no good. That'll keep you in a world of trouble. But today, like I said, I got the antidote for the world, right? So what's the world? You know what the world is? When I say I got the antidote for the world, the world is Satan's worldwide system of deception and wickedness. It's worldwide. See, it's not just here, or it's everywhere. It's worldwide. Satan has a worldwide system of destruction and wickedness and deception and evil and murder and lying and cheating. That's his system. Amen? We know this is not God's system, right? Everybody know the system right here that we live in this world is not God's system. Amen. Jesus said, my kingdom is coming. This ain't it. Because it's not going to look like this. Amen. This is Satan's system. This world system that we live in right now is Satan's system. Amen. It's throughout the whole earth. But when we live and navigate this world system, we got to have something to combat it. Amen. To neutralize it or render it harmless. So here's the question. How do we win the game of life? How do we win it? How do I get my breakthrough? Amen. How do I overcome? That's the question. Amen. And I'm here to tell you today what you need is the antidote for this world. Amen. You need something to render it harmless and to neutralize it. Amen. Let's get in this world. Y'all ready for some B-I-B-L-E? All right. Turn in your Bible to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to talk about the antidote to this world today. Amen. Because if you carry this antidote with you, you ain't got to worry about them snake bites. The snake going to bite, but you ain't got to worry about it. Amen. It's not going to hurt you because the antidote is going to render it harmless. Amen. Please get that in your spirit. We know who the snake is, right? We saw him in the Bible, right? He going to bite. That's what he does. Amen. All right, let's look at 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So this scripture is saying, if you love God, you also love Jesus. That's all it's really saying. If you love him that begot, you love him that is begotten of him. Amen. So the two are really what? One. Amen. And, you know, you hear people say, you know, I believe in God, but Jesus, I don't believe that. You know, because the world has distorted him and gave him an image that we know is not true. So what really we're saying, we don't believe that image. But the devil was a liar because he's full of deception. Really, he's crafty. So he'll make you think, oh, see, don't believe that because the image is not real. But he don't want you to believe anything. Because what's his number one job? To keep you away from God. So he'll use anything. So they came up with an image, which the Bible says don't even do. He said, don't have carving images or don't worship any of that stuff. Amen. Anyway. But I'm here to tell you today, Jesus Christ is real. Huh? He looked like me and you because he dwells in you. Amen. Okay, look at verse 2. It says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So it's saying when we love God, we love others. We love each other. And we want to do what God tells us to do. Amen. That's that safe life right there. Hearing, come on, and doing. Whatever God tells you to do, please do it. Amen. Look at verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. See, when you do what God tells you to do, it won't grieve you. Grieve means sadden you. It won't put a distress on you. Amen. It won't be painful. It won't hurt you. That's what this scripture is saying. His commandments are not grievous, what he's telling us to do. Amen. Look at verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. That's what I'm talking about. That's because he's the antidote. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Our faith. Amen. That's why we walk by faith. So God is the antidote, saints. With God, we are victorious. We overcome the world. Why? Because he neutralizes it and renders it harmless. Amen. Look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that what? Jesus is the Son of God. See, ain't no believing in God and not believing Jesus is the Son. That doesn't work. I and my Father are one. Amen. That's why he told Philip. Philip was saying, well, you know, just show us the Father. You know, sure, what are you talking about? He said, when you look at me, you're looking at the Father. You've been with me all this time and you still don't know that? God is something else. That's what you believe when you are born again, saints. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. Go down to verse 10. Let me show you this. 1 John 5 and verse 10 says this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. So it says, if you believe on the Son of God, you got the witness in you, in himself. Is that what it says? Whoever believes that has the witness in him. Yeah. Huh? And he that believeth not God made God a liar, because he believed not the record of God that God gave of his Son. See, when he's in you, you'll talk about him, saints. He's just going to come up in the conversation. You could be talking about anything. But he does so many things, before you know it, you own Jesus again. Well, Jesus this. Well, why are you always talking about Jesus? Because he lives in me. Amen. You got to know that. He lives in you. Amen. The worst thing you can do, saints, is not believe God. Huh? Because is that what it says? It says, he that believeth not God hath made him a liar. So if you don't believe this, what I'm saying to you now, you saying, not I'm a liar. You're saying God is a liar. Right? And he cannot lie. Look, watch this. Go to Matthew. Go to Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to come back to this 1 John. But go to Matthew chapter 3. Let me show you something real quick. Matthew chapter 3. We're saying God is the antidote, right? Yeah. To this world. Huh? And Satan is the ruler of this evil world. Is that correct? So we need an antidote, right? All right, you all in Matthew 3. This is what was going on. Look at verse 1. It says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So here's John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness, telling everybody to repent. Verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Okay, look at verse 4. At the same John, and the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. So John was out in the wilderness eating locusts and wild honey, saying, prepare the way. Amen. Trying to prepare some straight paths. Amen. Look at verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So the people from all around was coming to John. John was baptizing them. They were confessing their sins. Amen. Let me just give you this real quick, because our next pop-up event is going to be on Saturday coming up. Well, our first pop-up event. Amen. And it's going to be right here. What is that little piece of land right there called, Archie? Yeah, 112th, that little piece of land right there. It's going to be from, the program says from 12 to 3, but we're going to make it from 11 to 1. Amen. And we're going to, and what I'm saying to you is, you know, from this scripture right here, it brought me to give you this. It says that, I'm going to read it again, then I'm going to give it to you. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. When we offer prayer to people and they come to us wanting prayer, the first thing you do, saints of God, is ask them, is it anything they want to repent over? Because you don't want the prayer that you pray for them to be hindered when you take it to the throne of God. Amen? Amen. It's no use in praying for anybody if they're going to continue to do the same thing they're doing. You wasting your time, they wasting their time. So allow them to repent. Ask them, and you're going to be shocked. Because when I was on the radio, I would say, was it anyone, anything you want to repent for, a man of God, a woman of God, before we go to this throne? Whew. I had heard all kind of things. And I was so glad I did that. You know, and they were so glad. They wanted to get that off of them. They wanted to get that reproach off of them. So make sure that's the number one thing. Just don't say, okay, I'll pray for you. Let's just pray. No, let them repent. Because if they come to you for prayer, something wrong. Amen. Let them get that off of them. Amen. That's what John did. It says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. They was just repenting. They was like, hey, look, this is what we on. This is what we did. Amen. Look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come? See, he knew them Pharisees and Sadducees. They was on the law that they couldn't do. Amen. He knew they wasn't going to repent. He said, here they come. They on the law. Huh? They want to come and get baptized, but they ain't going to repent. Huh? They ain't going to confess no sins because they on the law. And they think they doing it all right. And they weren't. Look at verse 8. It says, bring forth therefore meat for repentance. He's telling them, bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance. He said, bring something forth. Okay, if you want me to baptize you, come on and bring something forth. You know, repent. That's really what he's telling them. He said, where's the fruit? Huh? What have you changed? What shows that you have turned from your old ways? That's what he's really saying to them. Bring forth therefore fruits meant for repentance. Look at verse 9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Woo, people do that one a lot. Amen. They all messed up. And you know what they say? My father's a pastor. My auntie is born again and saved. This person in my family is this. That don't have nothing to do with them. That's why he told them, because he knew what the Sadducees and the Pharisees were going to say. What did he tell them? And think not to say within yourselves, we got Abraham. They did Jesus like that. Jesus was giving them a high-end revelation. And they were saying, well, Abraham is our father. He said, well, if Abraham was your father, you would know me. Huh? Abraham, what did he straight tell them? Abraham, not your father. Your father is the devil. Oh, he messed them up with that. Huh? And then they was a little messed up, right? Y'all remember when he said this to him? He said, before Abraham was, I am. They was like, oh, you the snap now. You was here before Abraham? He out there 30-something years old. He talking about before Abraham even existed, I am. I was like, oh, yeah, you went mad. We're going to stone you. First chance we get. Amen. That's what happened. Amen. And people do that. They start you telling them about Christ, trying to help have God work through you to deliver them, and they start telling you about who's in their family and how saved they are. Huh? What that got to do with you? Oh, Lord have mercy. I just want to give y'all this truth. Amen. Look at verse 10. It says, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Now, what did I say? The Bible likens us to what? Trees. Amen. And it says, if the tree is not bringing forth any good fruit, what's happening? It's cast into the fire. Amen. It's worthless. It's useless to God. Didn't we see that last week? The wheat. It was talking about the wheat and not the tares, but what they call it? The chaff. The chaff. And it said the chaff, it was no good to God. It was useless. It was thrown in the fire. And that's what this is saying right here. Amen. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Look at verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. That's something else. See, John was out there saying, I'm baptizing you with water, amen, unto repentance. But Jesus is going to come along. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen. Go verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff. Here we go again. With what? With unquenchable fire. The chaff is not worth it. It's no good. It's useless to God. Amen. He's going to burn that up. Look at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, here comes Jesus. John is saying all this. Here comes Jesus, right? Look at verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? So he's telling Jesus, you need to be baptized of me, Jesus, and you're going to come to me for me to baptize you? Praise God. God bless you, man and woman of God. And so, look what happened. Because God is orderly. Amen. You all know God is orderly. God. Now, John is forbidding him to come, saying, hey, you shouldn't be coming to me, Jesus, because, you know, I should be coming to you to be baptized with that fire, because that's what he was talking about, really. You know, God is an orderly God, and he has things in place. And things have to be done decent and in order with God. Amen. And it even applies to him. That's what he was telling Jesus. This applies to me. Look at verse 15. And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. So our example is saying to us, strive to do everything right. Amen. Jesus said, hey, I got to get baptized just like everybody else here. Amen. Because that's the order. That's the system. That's what I put in place. Look at verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lightning upon him. So God's Spirit was coming at him smooth. Because you know how a dove flies smooth. But it was like lightning hitting him. Amen. Look at verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Huh? When we was in 1 John 5, it was saying, some don't believe that. And when I say, well, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, huh? And you say, no, he's not. Nope. That's not, I don't believe that. I believe in God, but I don't believe Jesus' son. You are not calling me a liar. Amen. You calling God. And a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You calling God a liar. Amen. And that's a mess. That's not good. Amen. God said Jesus was a son. See, when I say God and Jesus are one, or when you see Jesus, you see God, or Jesus is God in the flesh, if you don't believe, you're discarding the antidote. Ain't no way to God but through Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the antidote of this world. Amen. What does the antidote do? It renders it harmless, right? Praise God. It renders the world harmless. Thank you, Jesus. Huh? It neutralizes the world, right? Is that what the antidote does? If you don't believe that, saints, not only are you discarding the antidote, but you know what else you're doing? You're destroying your forever. Amen? Because Jesus is what's going to get us in that forever. He's eternal. He's everlasting. Amen? We don't want to destroy our forever with this temporary mess we got going on out here right now. Amen? I don't want to destroy my forever. Amen? And that's what you do when you say, no, I'm not going with that Jesus. I believe in God now. Ain't no such thing. The two are one. And there's only one way to the Father, and that's through the Son. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, let's go back to 1 John 5. I read to you 10, right? All right, let's go to 11. 11 says, and this is the record that God gave, that God have given to us, what? Forever. What is eternal life? Forever. That's the record. And this is the record that God is the record that God have given us, eternal life, and the life is in what? His Son. Huh? It goes right back to that statement I just, if you say that, you're discarding your forever. Amen. That's what you're doing. You're saying, okay, I don't need that. You're destroying your forever. Amen. And you're making your life right here. You have no antidote. You have nothing that's going to neutralize the world and render the world harmless. It can harm you without God, without the antidote. Amen. I want to make that clear. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says this. He that have the Son have what, saints? He keeps saying the same thing over and over, and I keep saying the same thing over and over. Amen? Because I want you to really get this in your spirit. He that have the Son have life, and he that have not the Son of God have not life. Amen? It says, verse 13, these things have I written unto you that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have what? Eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you are born again of the Spirit. Yeah. It can't die. The flesh gonna die. The Spirit is not dying. Amen. When you get born of that Spirit, that's it. Look what else happens. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything, we read this last week, according to His will, what happened? He heareth us. You know why? I'm going to give you this revelation right here. When you're born again and you have a relationship with God and you're speaking with Him daily, and He's giving you them commandments, and He's really, really revealing to you your purpose for your life. That's what He's doing. He's going to reveal to you every day. That's why Jesus said, give me what day? This day. Every day He's going to give you something that He needs you to do that's going to magnify Him, glorify Him, and put you on the straight and narrow and make your life rise up as well. He wants to bless you, right? If He don't bless you, then you can't be a blessing. First one He want to bless is you. Amen. Then you can go. Now we can have a pop-up event. Amen. He had to bless us first. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So He'll reveal your life to you, right? Your purpose. When God reveals your purpose to you, guess what happens? Now you know what to pray for. You want, you'll quit praying them foolish prayers. Oh, Lord, just let me win the lottery, Lord. If I just win, that's a foolish prayer. Amen. If you win the lottery, whatever's in you is going to be perpetuated. Amen. Money only perpetuates whatever's in you. Please know that. So if you are a whoremonger, you run around with all these different women, and you win the lottery, you're just going to be a bigger whoremonger. Instead of having 10, now you're going to have 50. Because you can get around now. You can get to this city. Oh, you're going to be a mess. Huh? If you're a drug addict and you win the lottery, huh? What you think you're going to do? Kill your OD. Exactly. You got all this money. You're going to stay at the dope house. You got plenty of money. Your money ain't running out. That's a foolish prayer to God. That's why he can't answer it. But if you have a relationship with him, now he'll show you your purpose, and then you'll begin to pray for things that will get you to where he wants to get you to. Amen? And then what does the scripture say? Look what it says. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, but see, this is the little part we missed. What does it say? According to his will. Well, if you don't know what his will is, how you gonna ask? Huh? You just ask him for things that's not his will. And then it says if you ask for things that are his will, what this little piece right here say? He heareth us. And see, God is not just a hearer only. Like some of us just come in here and sit in here, but we don't do it. Amen? Faith without works is dead. Amen? It's nothing going to happen. You got to be a hearer and a doer. So when this scripture says God heareth us, he's going to do something. He just don't hear you and don't do anything. Huh? That's us. We do that. We sit down and hear, but we don't execute it. Huh? We're afraid of something. I don't know. Because, you know, when did we read last week that anything we ask, huh, that he'll do it. But this scripture is saying according to his will. Amen. But we read a scripture. What was that scripture we read last week? It was a scripture that said something about us asking. Amen. No, it said anything that we put our hands to, what did it say? He's going to bless it. Huh? That comes back to hearing and doing. He says, anything we put our hands to, I'll bless it. But we don't put our, but when you laying back not doing nothing, he don't have nothing to bless. We're afraid. Why are you afraid? Like we can make a mistake or something. Well, if I do this, it might be the wrong. What did the scripture say? Anything. So what if you chose the wrong thing? Huh? He said, if you put your hands to that, I'll bless that. And then that relationship with him, you communicating with him, you praying to him, you having him in that first place, he going to continue. He going to say, oh, no, that was good. I blessed that for a season. Get out of that. Now let's get into this. Huh? That I do, man of God. This was good for this, for that season you was in right there. I got something special for you. Huh? That's how he does it. I got something really special for you. You was faithful in the little thing. Huh? Now what are you going to do? I'm going to make you a ruler over the big thing. Oh, come on. Y'all with that? Huh? Y'all afraid of that? Huh? I'm not. Amen. I'm not afraid of that. Oh, praise God. So look at verse 15. It says, and if we know that he hear us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So it says, it's confirming the word. It says, if we know God hears us, then we know that whatever we're asking, he's going to confirm that petition that we desire of him. Amen. He is not a hearer only, say he's a doer. Jesus is the antidote of this world. He will neutralize it and render it harmless against you. Huh? But if you're not born again and you don't know God, you ask for things that are not his will for your life, and those prayers go amiss. Amen? They go amiss. And we should be happy they do, because some of the things we ask for really just get us in trouble. Amen? And then we got a type of person, and they do this. I hear this all the time. They say, you know what? This is what I'm going to do. You know? They hear about the ministry, and they know I love God and my heart is for God. They know it. They say, oh, man, you ain't going through all that. And you don't really just, you just, you know, this week by week, day by day, we see you, you went on the radio, you done did this, you done did that, screaming, Jesus Christ is Lord, let's unite all the people. Oh, yeah, you love God. So they'll say this. This is funny. But they say, "If you, when I win that lottery, I'm going to buy you a church." That's what they tell me. When I win the lottery, I'm going to buy you a church. That's not going to happen. Amen? Because you're not faithful in the little thing. Now, if one of y'all told me that, I'd believe it. Though y'all shouldn't be playing lottery. But if y'all doing, y'all, I ain't going to not accept it. If one of y'all tell me that, I'll believe it. Because why? Because you come in right now. Amen? But the person is not, if you're not doing something that you can do, you want me to believe that when you win the lottery, yeah, that sound, see, because that sounds good to God, because they know, man, that man, are you blessing that man of God? I want to help him. I want to help him. If I win, I'm going to do this for him. He's probably praying them prayers and everything, you know. And God forbid he let them win. Because if he do, and they don't do what they say he's going to do, woo, it's hell to pay. Y'all heard that phrase? It'll be hell to pay. So, Lord, my prayer is, Lord, don't let them win that lottery. Don't even prove them like that. Because God don't test you. Satan tests you. God proves you. See, that's why he don't let them win. Because God don't have to, God know what's in you. He don't have to put you through a silly test. He already know what's in you. That's Satan is putting you through the test. Oh, Lord, take Job and let me do this to him. Let me, that wasn't God doing it. God just said, okay. Because he wanted to prove to Satan, that fool, what was it? He knew what was in him. Oh, he not going to curse me. I already know. Well, let me touch his house. Let me kill all his kids. Let me do this. Okay, go ahead. Huh? Let me burn his garage and his car. Let's see how he go on that mission then. Go ahead and burn it up. Amen. He let him do it. Oh, Lord have mercy. Why? Because he knows what's in us. Huh? He knows what's truly inside of us. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just want to say thank you for being the antidote. For overcoming the world in us, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to be born again. What a plan, Father. Because we were all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, right? When we all born messed up. Huh? People make excuses. Well, I was born like that. I was born. And you're right. You was. But we was all born messed up. That's why you got to be born again. Amen. With that spirit. And that fire that Jesus is going to bring into you, that's what's going to change you. Amen? You can't change yourself. I'm not going to go on that flesh turn right now, talking about the flesh. I'm not going to do it. But the flesh is not, that's why the Bible says, in the flesh it's impossible to please God. God don't want to deal with your flesh. Amen? So don't let Satan trick you with your flesh. Telling you silly stuff. You never going to do this. You never going to. No, you not. But in God, what's possible? Everything. Amen. You got to hear me on that with saints. Amen. God is the antidote. I want you to get that in your spirit today. Father, I thank you for this word that you gave me today, Father. I thank you for the born again experience again, Lord.